Good morning, church. Blessed you in the name of Jesus. Shalom to you. All right, this morning we are going to continue with this series on heaven and hell. And the text we're going to read from is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, reading from verse 1 to chapter 22, verse 7. And all right, so if you have a Bible with you, please turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I'm going to read from verse 1, right through to chapter 22, verse 7. Is everyone there? All right, Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be their God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerer, idolater, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" Verse 9. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 apostles, 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gate, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlong. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 124 cubits, according to the measures of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The fountains of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth berry, and the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were the 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and the honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But they shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes that abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was a tree of life which bore sure fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. There shall be no night there. There they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." That ends the reading. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again that you are showing us, Lord, the glory of heaven in the book of Revelation. And thank you, Father, that you have great things in store for your children. And so, Lord, this morning we are going to, Lord, learn more about what is it like in heaven. And, Lord, and be able to appreciate the glory that you have in store, Lord, for your church. And so, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will come and anoint your servant to speak with clarity, with your authority. And Lord, that people will be inspired. The people will have the sense of awe of what is coming. And so this morning, you also anoint the hearers, the people who are present here. You open their hearts that they may receive. Father, Lord, that you open their understanding, their spiritual eyes. And Lord, that you awaken them so that they can be prepared, Father, for the coming glory in heaven. In this morning, so we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move among us and come and glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right, in my last sermon, if you recall, I began a series of a new series of sermon called entitled The Heavens and the Earth. And in part one, we explore the horrors of hell. And today, we're going to turn and focus on a more joyful and uplifting topic called the glories of heaven. And heaven is not just a distant dream or a vague hope, right? It is a tangible, the glorious reality that God has prepared for those who love Him. And today, we will delve into the breathtaking details of heaven. Many believers do not realize that God's redemptive plan is actually far greater than simply getting people into heaven, into the present heaven. So as a start, let me first quickly explain with a diagram, and then so that you have a kind of appreciation of the new heaven and the new earth. Can I have the diagram, please? Thank you. Now, in my last sermon, I explained to you that after Jesus' second coming, there will be a millennium where we will rule and reign with Him on this present planet Earth. But that is not the end of the story, because after the millennium, there will be a great white throne judgment. One click, please. Thank you. There will be a great white throne judgment for those who are already dead. They will be raised up to have received body, and God will actually mete out judgment. So there are two groups of people: those who are believers in Christ Jesus, and those non-believers in Christ Jesus. And so there will be judgment. They call it the Great White Throne Judgment. And at the end of the Great White Throne Judgment, there will be two entities that will service. One is the lake of fire. The present hell will be engulfed and become a big fireball called the eternal lake of fire. And then shortly after that, there will be another entity that will descend. And that, one more click please, thank you. And that is what we call the new heaven and the new earth. And so these two groups of people, either believers in Christ Jesus or non-believers in Christ Jesus, and they will face their, they'll be ushered into their eternal destiny. One more click please, thank you. So, the believers in Christ Jesus will be ushered into the new heaven and the new earth, and non-believers in non-believers of Christ Jesus will be ushered or be thrown into the lake of fire together with the devil and all his cohort of the fallen angels, the evil angels. And so this is a pictorial picture, rather a picture of the new heaven and new earth. I'm going to give you a description later. All right, so that's all. Thank you. As I said, there will be a new heaven and new earth. It's clearly written in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And so the present heaven and the present earth that we have will pass away. Right? It will be superseded by the new heaven and the new earth. Now, so according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the present earth will be consumed by fire. And this could be involve splitting of every atom and unleashing the full force of its energy, and even perhaps an event resembling the nuclear holocaust. But take note, God, it is God and not man who will initiate this. And so how is the new heaven and the new earth looks like? Now, from what we have read, we have what we call a brand new universe, a new cosmos, a new heaven and a new earth. And so the first thing to note is that we will have a new earth. Now what is this new earth? This new earth is actually the new center and the new hub of the whole new universe. And God will move his command center and throne from the present third heaven to the new earth. And he's going to dwell with men. And then Revelation 21 verse 3 says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And then the second entity, the new thing, is called New Jerusalem, and will be the new capital city. Now, God personally designed and constructed this new city himself. Now, even Abraham knew about this project, because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says that Abraham waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, how big is this new capital city? Now, the dimension given in the Bible are 12,000 furlong in length, breadth, and in height. Written in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Now, 12,000 furlong is about 2,400 kilometers. And so the breadth, the length, the height is of equal dimension. So this makes it a perfect cube, a shape that symbolizes perfection. And so the whole city would just fit inside the moon if it were hollow. Now, to give you kind of help you to visualize the size, 2,400 square meters multiplied by 2,400 square kilometers will give you about 5.76 million square kilometers. Now, to compare with the size of Australia, it is about 75% or three-quarter of the size of Australia. We are now talking about, you know, the capital city, the new heaven and new earth. We are not talking about new universe. The new universe is far, far bigger. We are just talking about the capital, all right, of the new universe. And so the next question to ask is, what material would God use to make this new city? So let me first illustrate with the parable. Now, there was a wealthy Christian about to die, and he pleaded with God to let him bring some of his riches to heaven. And so God agreed, but he said, I only allow you to bring two suitcases, all right? And when he arrived at the gates, St. Peter reminded him of the rule, right? He said, you can't bring earthly treasures here. But the man insisted. He said, but God had made an exception for me. The man insisted. And after confirming, yeah, indeed it was true. And so Peter opened the bag. And inside were actually two solid gold bars. Then Peter asked, in disbelief, he said, you went through all the trouble just to bring two substandard paving stones for our street. He said, don't you know that every material in heaven is of 100% purity? And so the moral of the story is this. Heaven is so gloriously adorned with the highest purity of gold and gemstone that even the earth finder's treasure are not good enough, right, for the streets of heaven. Now, this is true, right? Because it doesn't pass the test. You know, it's not 100% pure gold, and therefore it failed the test. And so, number one, the streets of heaven are made of pure crystalline gold. Pure gold is white, almost transparent and crystalline, and not the yellow color that we are familiar with. And then second, all the 12 gates are built of pure pearl. Each gate is one made of one big pearl. Now, there is a symbolic meaning of pearl here. As you know, pearls are actually formed arising from a sand grain, actually, that inflicted suffering inside the oyster. And so it is a reminder that the church actually was birthed forth through Christ's suffering. And so the church herself also went through great suffering and persecution at the various stages of its history. And so this is a reminder, right, that Christ suffered for us. And the church also went through great suffering. And then third, the city wall foundation actually adorned with 12 pure, brilliant gemstones. And the first foundation was jasper. And then the second was sapphire. And then the third was chalcedony. And the fourth, emerald. And then the fifth, sardonyx. And the sixth, sardis. Right, so on and so forth. 12 precious stones. Now, no rubies, no diamonds. All right, the choice of this precious stone is actually remarkable in light of the modern scientific discovery. The gemstones listed there are actually all what we call anisotropic, not isotropic. Let me explain. Now, this means that when pure light is actually reflected through multiple layers of gemstone, it will produce all the color, right, of the rainbow in an infinite variety of pattern. Now, not so if isotropic stones like diamonds or rubies are used, right? So there are no diamonds or rubies in heaven, right? Because of this reason. And so, because if diamonds or ruby are used, it will lose all the color when it is reflected through multiple layers of precious gemstone. And so now this subtle difference could not possibly be known by the Apostle John, who actually wrote the book of Revelation. So it is another stunning proof that God inspired the writing of the Holy Scripture. Now, in this new city, it says that there will be no moon or no sun to shine, because the glory of God and His Son will provide the pure light. Now imagine God's glory shining through all the transparent gold and also through all the rainbow reflecting gemstone. The color effect will be so dazzling and breathtaking that it will literally take our breath away. And so, and fourth, there is also going to be a crystal clear river of life that will run from God's throne through the middle of the city. And on the river banks are actually tree of life, each yielding a type of fruit every month. And then fifthly, it will have a flourishing nature, meaning lining the street will be other trees and flowers in constant bloom with different colors and shade. And both sides of the rivers are trees in full bloom, glorious in color, fragrant in scent, and fruitful in abundance. And parks are actually alive with vibrant and soft green meadows. And so this brings us back to the original earthly paradise, the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1. Now beyond the city, the new earth will be filled with rolling green pasture, blooming gardens, crystal clear streams, and vast landscape teeming with perfect disease-free plant life. Imagine the endless diversity, the flowers, fruits, and rivers, waterfalls, animals, all untainted by disease, pestilence, pollution, or sin. If Eden was beautiful, then the new earth will be thousands of times more glorious and more beautiful. Now, we saw the picture when you were worshipping, you know, some of the background pictures, beautiful flowers and things like this. If you thought that was beautiful in the new heaven and new earth, it will be far, far more beautiful, extremely beautiful. You have parks and gardens everywhere. And then six, we call it indescribable beauty. Heaven is beyond what you call human vocabulary. No words can fully describe the splendor and the beauty of the new heaven and earth. It will totally blow our minds away. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, put it this way, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man of the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Words fail to describe, express his glory, the majesty and the beauty and the perfection. And even the best that we can imagine falls short. Now we must not lose sight of the truth that all splendor is due to the God of splendor. Ultimately, it isn't the physical attribute of this city that makes it so beautiful, special, or glorious. The true glory of heaven is God Himself. The most glorious aspect of heaven is just beauty, but it is the presence of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 and verse 4 say, His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their forehead. Today, we are separated from God by our sinful flesh. But in heaven, we will be totally transformed, able to stand before God and see His face, His amazing, His blazing glory. And next question. And so what will be the fully redeemed condition of humanity be like? First thing, we will have a supernatural, glorified body like Jesus. Clearly written in Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Also in Luke chapter 24 verse 39. And so what kind? You say, what kind of glorified body is it? And so A, the body can actually operate seamlessly in both the material and the spiritual realm, not subject to limitations of time, space, or physical law as we know them. And so it means that we could appear and vanish at will in different form, in different places, almost instantaneously. So, for example, if I'm here in Australia, if I want to go to London, I can just split up a second, my physical body disappear, and I appear in London straight away, almost instantaneously. That is what it means. You know, supernatural, right? Appear and vanish at will in different form, in different places, almost instantaneously. Second, what about if we have the bodily material, what is it made of? It is only made of flesh and bone, not blood-based. Right? It's clearly written in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Then next thing, that material body, if we choose to manifest in that form, it is incapable of sin. Sin becomes impossible, which means to say pride, greed, envy, lust, lying, all these things will disappear. Nothing unholy will enter or defile or pollute the new heaven and the new earth. There won't be any temptation at all. Then the next thing is, new body will never suffer decay or corruption or disease or decline. So there is no aging, no aging, no wrinkles. Everything will be very smooth. All right, reflect the glory of God. No death in heaven. No one's grow old or feeble. No funeral, no cemetery. And your look will be at its prime and best. The full beauty and the color will be revealed. There's no need for cosmetic. Beautician will run our job. So better change your profession now. Your body and your face will sparkle and will shine. And your feature will be very defined. You know, we like defined feature. That will be the case. And we are able to recognize everyone instinctively. Right? Just like Peter, James, and John. They're able to recognize Moses and Elijah instinctively on the Mount of Transfiguration, though they had not met before. And so, in the new heaven and new earth, we will recognize everyone and all the characters in the Bible, whether it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Elijah, Elisha, so on and so forth. We meet them, we know, oh yes, you are the Abraham, the father of faith. You know, so we've recognized everyone. And then next, there's no marriage relationship. Jesus make it clear. We shall be like angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so our earthly marriage relations are only until death do us part. And our current family relationship will also be dissolved. And so we will relate to each other as brother and sister in Christ. Right, no longer have parents or grandparents, you know, that kind of relations. No longer there in the new heaven and new earth. And then next thing, no more sea and division. Now, what is the significance of this? The current earth have sea that separate people and nation in the world. In the new earth, there will be no longer sea. Clearly written in the Bible. Only rivers. And so life here on the current earth is really full of contention and division. But in the new heaven and new earth, everyone will work harmoniously with one another. And then next thing, no more curses. Revelation 22:3. Only blessing. No famine. No barrenness. No poor people. No lack. And there will be plenty, in fact, overabundance for everyone. Whatever we do will be fruitful. And then point C, no suffering, no sorrow, no tears. Revelation 21 verse 4, because God will wipe away every tear from every eyes as if saying it's over. No need to cry anymore. No sickness. Doctors and nurses are redundant. So doctors, no doctors here. If there are doctors, sorry, sad to say, in heaven you will find another job. You will not be unemployed, right? No hospital, no handicaps, no deformity in heaven, no bald head. Your hair will grow back. Serious. And then no glasses. I don't need to wear glasses any longer. And then no hearing aid. All right, good news. No false teeth. True. And no wheelchair. Praise the Lord. Whatever handicap or deformity people were born on earth will disappear in heaven. All right. It has no place in their glorified body. So, but scars that were born in the kingdom service will shine as eternal medals of honor and beauty. And there will be better honor, as we know, the nail prints in the body of Jesus. It was clearly written that he has those nails. But it will be transformed in a way that it becomes a badge of honor. When you look at it, it's going to be very beautiful. So how God does it, I don't know. But clearly, it's written in the Bible. So Apostle Paul and many others who have labored for the gospel and suffered some of these scars, you know, will have this badge of honor on their body. And then no night and shadow. Right? God, as the pure light, will shine all the time. And it will reach every corner and every gap. So no darkness, no night, no lampposts in the streets of gold. And there will be full revelation. Point number four. We shall know fully, even as we have been fully known. Which means to say, God will answer all the questions that have perplexed us on earth. The many questions that you have. Why? Why this? Why that? That we have been asking during those difficult times will be answered in heaven. And then, fifthly, there will be total righteousness. It will be a kingdom of righteousness. Heaven is a source of everything that is right. There will be no hypocrisy, right? No crime, no violence, no greedy businessmen, no power-hungry politicians that double talk, no bickering or fighting or war, no drug trafficking, no evildoer, no theft, no moral pollution will spoil the environment. And in this world, now we have been so accustomed to evil that it is almost impossible to imagine a world without it. But that day of perfect righteousness will surely come. God promised. Now, so the next question is, what will we do in heaven? Right? Now, heaven will resemble earth in many ways, but with glorious differences. Now, no one will be sitting on clouds with a harp doing nothing. That's for sure, right? We will be actively engaged in meaningful, joyful work with purpose and delight. Now, will heaven be fun? For sure, absolutely. Because in God's presence is fullness of joy and eternal pleasure. Psalm 16:11. So, heaven won't be boring. It will be far more joyful than the greatest party on earth. So, first thing that we'll do is worship. Praise and worship will be the heartbeat of heaven. We will fall before God in awe, adoration, and wonder. And then when we fall and we rise up, we discover another facet, another revelation of God. We'll be in awe, we'll be in adoration and in wonder again. So we will continually express our gratitude in our love song of redemption to Him forever and ever, and celebrate His great victory over sin for all of us. And so the worship in heaven will be unlike anything you've ever heard on earth, because the music will be so heavenly, so thunderous, so majestic and harmonious that even the greatest orchestra and the choir in this world will pale by comparison. And to see God, to worship in His presence, will be heaven's highest joy. And then, second thing, we will rule and reign with Christ. The Bible says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's who we are. I repeat the word. You are royal priesthood. You are royalty. Now, as though that is not enough, God further assured us in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 5 verse 10. It further declares that Christ has made us kings and priests, destined to rule with Him
And so we are part of God's royal family in the coming kingdom. Billions and billions of angelic beings will serve under our authority as we take up positions of eternal responsibility. And so we will help God to govern His new universe. In Luke 19, Jesus actually spoke of a parable of a noble man who rewarded his faithful servant with rulership over city. Just to assure you, what I'm saying is biblical. He says that one of them gained 10 cities, another gained 5. According to how they managed what was entrusted to them previously. And so this is a picture of how God will reward faithful stewardship while we are on earth. And so there will be countless of galaxies and planets in this new universe. Now the present galaxy in the universe is already so huge. The scientists cannot fathom. Imagine the new heaven and new earth. The new universe will be super humongous. And so God will assign us to govern over planets and regions and cities. And so heaven is not a retirement, my brothers and sisters, not retirement. So don't look forward to retirement in heaven. All right? It is rulership to rule and reign with Christ. And then thirdly, to work and to serve with joy. Because Revelation 7:15 says, His servant shall serve Him day and night in His temple. And heaven is a workplace of purposeful service. Everyone will be constructively engaged, fulfilling unique roles assigned by God. Now, though not explicitly stated in the Bible, it's likely that we'll be involved in projects. We'll oversee projects and we'll, you know, develop, build cities, roads, and infrastructure in other planets. Now, God will not simply create by speaking everything into existence. He can do that. But He chose not to do that. He get you to do it. Because unlike earthly work, right, which is often burdensome, heavenly work will be joyful and deeply fulfilling. It's like doing your favorite hobby with the perfect condition. So actually, God is giving us endless opportunity to create, to lead, to contribute, exercising the gifts, the skills, and the creativity He has placed within each one of us. And there will be no competition, pride, or selfish ambition, because everyone will serve with gratitude, excellence, and unity, perfectly aligned with God's view and with one another. And so heaven is not just a home for every one of us. It is also a place of holy, joyful productivity. And then next, fourth point, we also rest. There will be rest and recreation. And so rest is to cease from work, not because you're tired. Right? You never be tired. You just take a kind of cease from your work and you take the time to relax, right? To have a time of recreation, to enjoy all the various beauties of heaven. And then fifthly, you have fellowship, feasting, and celebration. Some of you must be clapping your hands. Woo! I still have parties and fellowship and feasting. All right, the Bible has many parables regarding banquet, feast, and joyful celebration. Many parables involve a king throwing a grand feast and then inviting many to come and share in the joy. In Luke 22:18, Jesus also said, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Pointing to a future heavenly celebration with His people. Now, but the best thing is not just food and drink, right? But the company of the people you have in heaven. People are hospitable, very friendly, genuinely loving, caring, and without pretense. And so there will be fun of excitement, there will be laughter and joy. And so heaven will be the greatest celebration ever, where joy never ends and love is never lacking. And then next, there will be rewards in heaven. Now heaven is not a communist regime, nor a flat egalitarian society where everyone is equal. Now God is just. It says that He rewards each believer according to some objective criteria. More on this later. And so in the new heaven and new earth, there will be differences in honor, in glory and reward, yet with perfect joy, unity and contentment for all. So first, there will be different degrees of greatness. Yes, some will be great, some will be least. It's in the scripture. Jesus, in fact, said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, He said, whoever break one of the least of this commandment and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Which means look, there will be some who are least, there will be some who are great. And then the more humble and obedient you are to His word, and the closer to Christ, you will be in the eternal kingdom. And then second thing, there will be different crowns of honor. Some will receive crowns of righteousness, some crown of life, and some crowns of glory, etc. Those persecuted, especially the martyr, will receive greater honor and reward. And then thirdly, there will be varying degrees of glory and ranking. All of us will shine, but one will differ from another in splendor and in glory. Some the glory of the sun, some the glory of the moon, and some the glory of the star. Clearly written in 1 Corinthians 15:41. And then fourthly, there will be diverse appointments and assignments. Some are given higher ranking and appointment, and some less. Some will be entrusted with greater authority, others with less, depending on how they steward what God had given them previously on earth. And then fifthly, there will be various many kinds of mansions in Father's house. Everyone will have a mansion prepared by Christ, but some will receive a larger, some will have a more magnificent mansion, but others smaller. Right. So some will dwell closer to God's throne, others further. But all will be fully satisfied. Now despite the differences, no one will be envious or dissatisfied. Because even the least in heaven will be far more joyful and fulfilled than the wealthiest and the most privileged person on this planet Earth, the present sinful, broken earth. And so, six, every kinds of kindness, every act of kindness, rather, will be rewarded. Nothing done for God will be forgotten. A cup of water given in His name, a word of encouragement, or you're feeding the hungry, or you're visiting the sick, or you're helping the poor. Every act of love and kindness is recorded and will be rewarded. Because the scripture is saying in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, God is not unjust, right, to forget your work and your labor of love. Clearly written. And so I'm about to bring it to a close. There will be an application question. If that, what I've described all to you about heaven. So the question to ask is, what determines all this reward? In short, short answer, our earthly Christian life as probation will determine our heavenly reward. So that no one can complain why some is given higher honor or higher glory than the others. Because our Christian life on earth is a probation that will determine our heavenly reward. It's fair. So, though salvation is obtained the same by all, by grace through faith, but the way we live our life on earth will determine our appointment and our rewards in heaven. And so God will praise and reward us according to this order of priority. First thing is our love for God and for others. Why is this so? Because God says the greatest commandment that He has given us is to love God and to love others as ourselves. This is the greatest commandment. Right? We talk about obeying God. And then second thing is who we are, our being, our Christ-likeness in character. Now, our love relationship with God will affect our character. If we relate to God as a son, we will focus our character development. But if we relate to God as a servant primarily, then we will predominantly focus on work. And so our character refers to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That means the love, the joy, which is an attitude. And then talking about peace, whether you are a peaceable person, whether you are a peacemaker or whether you are a troublemaker. And then it talks about long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, so on and so forth. And so our relationship with God and character will determine our glory and appointment. Now, if the scripture basis is this, if you read the Bible carefully, God's glory is always associated with His character. Because when Moses asked God, he said, show me your glory. And then God did not show him in a pulsating light. I mean, God made His goodness to pass over him. It was revealed in the scripture. Goodness is one of God's character. And so love, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, so on and so forth, you know, is associated with the character. And we be associated with God's glory. That's why Apostle Paul says, you can move mountains by your faith, but you have no love. He said, you are nothing. You are zero. And then of the three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is not faith, is not hope, but the greatest is love. And therefore, we can be assured that Christ's likeness in character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we develop on earth, will determine our glory in heaven, our appointment and our ranking in heaven. Then, thirdly, of course, our works matter as well. How we use the gift and resources that God has given us. Our works do count towards rewards, but the weightage is low compared with the first two, compared with what I've just mentioned. Now, Proverbs 16:32, you'll be surprised to hear this. He says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Slow to anger is a character, right? Then it goes on to say, he who rules the spirit, those who have self-control, than he who takes the city. You can be the very powerful man, mighty man, and do great works for God. But he said, those who exhibit self-control, slow to anger, and he can control his spirit, is greater than this, the mighty, or those who take the city. And therefore, it is crucial that we prepare ourselves for heaven by giving premium in developing our love relationship with God and also our character. So, let us reflect on the three types of people and their end. Now, the first group is people who were once saved, but later abandoned their faith. And we have a few examples in the Bible. Judas was saved and destined to be great in heaven, but because of money,
He not only lost his great reward in heaven, but he lost his salvation. And then second example, Demas. Demas forsook the Lord. Why? He left the faith. Why? Because the Bible says that he loved this present world. And then, so is the third example, Old Testament prophet Balaam. He was a premium prophet. Whatever he blessed, you know, he'll be blessed. Whatever he cursed, will be cursed. Given such this anointing. But he lost his salvation and reward also because of the love of money. And then second category of people. People who just make it to heaven. But they lost their spiritual inheritance. So example was Lot. Lot was a righteous man. But he was easily distracted by the worldly things in life. And because of money, he went to settle and live in a seductive city called Sodom and Gomorrah, which became a very evil and perverse city. Now, he just did not choose his place of residence wisely. He did not choose the right company of people. And even though the sins of the city tormented his soul, even though he was unrighteous, he still chose to stay put there. And when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, God's angels literally had to drag his whole family out. Finally, he escaped from the judgment of that city. And so not only Lot lost all his earthly inheritance, or possession rather, he also lost all the spiritual inheritance that was in store for him originally. And so he just make it to heaven. And then the third category, people who love and serve the Lord faithfully, and then they finish strong when they die. These people not only love the Lord, they allow God to deal with their character. And they become overcomer. People like Moses, John, Peter, Paul. Now all these people have flaws in their character. But they allow God to deal with their character, and they repented and they changed. And there are some less known people, an intercessor, like Simeon and Anna. They just pop up from the gospel out of nowhere, relatively unknown people. But they also finish well and they finish strong. They love the Lord and they serve God faithfully behind the scene. And then plus the many unknown and the unsung hero, many of whom serve the Lord faithfully behind the scene. We do not know them, but God knows them. And so God honors them. And may we all aspire to love and to serve the Lord faithfully and to finish strong, so that we will receive our full spiritual inheritance and rewards in heaven. And so, a short conclusion. Treasure your salvation in Christ. Do not take it lightly. Do not take your salvation for granted. You know, just like some of those who lost their salvation. Because heaven is real. It is far more glorious than we think. Beyond our imagination. And then remember, earth, our present earth, is your probation. Heaven is your destination. And therefore, live your earthly life wisely. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on earth. And so you live with eternity in view. Things that you can see physically are temporal in nature. Things that you do not see are eternal. And so only one life to live, and it soon will be passed. So what is done for Christ will last. All the other is of no value. Only what is done for Christ and in Christ will last. And may you be wise in living your life on earth. Don't waste your life on earth. And the Lord bless you with wisdom. Amen. Amen. Amen.